Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome to Radio Laureate News at Noon. I am your host, Jeffrey, along with my co-host, Rajni. It is Tuesday, March 9th, 2021, and welcome to the show.
Hey, everyone. So to begin with, we'll start with our daily COVID update. So as we probably know, Peel Region has been released from the stay-at-home order and has upgraded into the gray lockdown zone. So that means that non-essential businesses can open at capacity limits. And however, personal care and dining in restaurants is not available yet. So even though this has happened, unfortunately, we've been seeing an increase in cases being logged. And even more concerningly, we've seen more of the variants of concern. So like the UK variant, the South African variant, the Brazilian variant, are almost one third of the cases at this point, which is slightly concerning given that our vaccine rollout is still quite behind other places, especially the States. So this is kind of just to say, although things are getting better and we do have vaccines, still take those precautions that you've been taking this whole time, because at this point, it's not nothing is guaranteed anymore. Just be as careful as possible. Try not to go to crowded places, try not to have gatherings.
The simple things, guys.
Yeah.
You know? And if you are gonna go to gatherings or do dumb stuff, make sure you're living by yourself, you know? Like make sure you're living by yourself.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, even if you have been able to get a vaccine, don't just throw all the precautions you've been taking out the window. So I know that several places in the U.S. have started lifting their mask mandates and have started allowing like gatherings like how they used to be before. But keep in mind that they've vaccinated a lot more people than we have. And even if you have gotten your vaccine here, like still take the precautions, because not everyone has had the vaccine, and the vaccine isn't 100%, of course. So you still have to wear your mask, still try and limit your contacts, and yeah, just use common sense and be careful.
Be safe, guys. Be safe.
Yeah. So to continue with more Canadian news, I'm not sure if anyone else knew about this, because I certainly just found out about it today. But apparently 7-Elevens were applying for a liquor license to be able to serve alcohol in the stores. So I think in the U.S., corner stores and gas station stores do sell alcohol, right?
Yeah, I think they also do in Quebec.
Yeah, so 7-Eleven was starting a petition to do that, and the way that they were trying to do it was like to serve it as how a restaurant would serve it, so the alcohol would be consumed on the property, on the premises of 7-Eleven, and you wouldn't be able to like take it outside. And I'm not sure if anyone can remember, but this was apparently one of Doug Ford's big promises when he was campaigning. So the legislation has kind of been questioned and overturned because of the argument that it would kind of hurt small businesses even more, like restaurants and small shops that are struggling due to the pandemic. Alcohol sales are one way that they've been able to like kind of keep up. And so if 7-Elevens were to be able to do this, it would just kind of take that small sector of business away from restaurants that are already struggling. And in addition to that, like, you all know everyone can go into a 7-Eleven. So, like, the concern was that kids would be buying their candy or snacks or whatever next to people who are possibly getting intoxicated, possibly getting drunk, and could even be a danger to the kids or themselves. And also, it's just, I guess people were concerned that it's kind of a bad influence to see their kids, to have their kids, like, access to that. So, I mean, it's kind of a complicated thing, because on one hand, it would be good to have the convenience of being able to go to your 7-Eleven to get a drink, you know, instead of having to go all the way to the LCBO. But on the other hand, like, those two issues that were raised are very valid. So what do you think, Jeffrey? What do you think about this?
I want to know what person would be like, hey, let's go to 7-Eleven and get a rum and coke. And let's just chill by the hot dogs and get a couple drinks, talk to the employees, you know? Like,
the 7-Eleven structure is not, like, conducive to sitting and chilling and having a drink.
Not at all. Like, I've never felt welcome in a 7-Eleven.
Exactly.
Like, as soon as I go there, I want to get out as fast as possible.
Exactly. And they're always like really small too, so it's not like you can spread out.
Yeah, there's always, I think there's always some crazy like scene going on in the 7-Eleven. Like,
yeah.
Some crazy person or a fight or I don't know, something. But yeah, I just think that's a terrible idea. And I think 7-Eleven is just trying to freaking take advantage of the pandemic and profit a bit more.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I do disagree with to some extent is that it's like a bad influence for people, for kids to see people drinking in public. I feel that
I don't agree with that.
It's people are a bit too uptight about alcohol here. Like,
yeah,
if you treat it as if it's a big deal, kids are gonna be more inclined to break the law to like access it, because then it will seem forbidden and like more cooler, you know, if it's like this big forbidden thing. But if you treat it like it's just something normal, and then you explain to your kids like, okay, don't drink too much and like drink responsibly, don't drink and drive, then it's fine. Like, I feel like you wouldn't have as many problems with like underage drinking, or I guess like underage alcoholism, if you treat it as if it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, it's kind of like everyone's like, don't do this, but I do this, and you can do this in a couple years, but don't do it now.
Yeah.
If you do it now, it's the worst thing in the world, but I do it every night.
Like, exactly. I mean, like, when I was growing up, I wasn't, like, obviously my parents didn't allow me to drink as much as I want, but I mean, if I wanted to have wine or whatever on special occasions, it was fine. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
And so the way that I grew up thinking of alcohol was not something like a magical drink that's like for adults only. It's just a drink that can influence your behavior, but only if you drink too much. So like the takeaway from that was just don't drink too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think we also have to acknowledge basically probably like at least 80-90% of, like, especially like in the Western world, at least like in Canada, at least 80-90% of the kids are going to end up drinking recreationally anyways, like at some point. So you can't do anything about it. Like, you're just, you know, you're just like, I agree with everything you said, Raj.
The better thing to do is to educate kids from young, from early, because I mean, they're going to be exposed to alcohol anyway. The best thing to do is to educate them on responsible drinking.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I guess everyone has been hearing about this for the past weekend, I guess. So, as we know, the royals, Harry and Meghan, had their tell-all interview with Oprah on Sunday. And that's basically all the news has been talking about. So, Meghan had revealed that she was basically to the point, like, she had really bad mental health to the point of being, having, like, suicidal ideation. And she said that, the thing that really stood out to me in this interview was the fact that she had asked for help. Like, she had asked them to find her, like, therapy or resources to help. And you'd think that this royal family with so many resources and so much access to everything could be able to provide her with, like, therapy at least, you know? And apparently she was told, like, oh, we can't help you with that.
That's crazy.
Exactly.
Terrible.
And then on top of that, like, Harry, of course, is trying to support his wife, and he was trying to be, trying to kind of protect her from the everything that was going on in the family. And apparently this created, like, a rift between him and his dad. Like, he was saying that his dad didn't answer his calls for, like, a good long time, because he was just, I guess, tired of hearing about this. And his brother has become distant from him too. And it's just like, I can't understand why his brother would do that, because they basically saw the same thing happen to their mom, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, it's just, did you see the Queen, the Royals' response that, like, just came out? Like,
no, I didn't. What did it say?
Here, I'm gonna read it word for word just for everybody. Let me just pull it up real quick. It's really short. They literally, this is the statement word for word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from a palace statement on behalf of the Queen. So she says, "The whole family is saddened to learn the full extent of how challenging the last few years have been for Harry and Meghan. The issues raised, particularly that of race, are concerning. While some recollections may vary, they are taken very seriously and will be addressed by the family privately. Harry, Meghan, and Archie will always be much loved family members. End quote.
Wow.
Yeah, that just came out, I think, like within the last hour or so.
Oh, wow, that's really recent.
Yeah.
And then the other thing about Archie is, like, apparently people were discussing how dark he would be, as if that has any relevance to him, as if that has any relevance whatsoever. I'm just boggled that that could even, like, why did they think that was okay?
Well, first of all, they should have known, like, just from the colors of Meghan and Harry, that the kid was probably not going to be dark anyways.
Exactly.
Like, that was such a stupid thing to say. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's very unlikely that he would have came out dark. And if he did, like,
why does it matter?
That's a benefit to England. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right?
Your public image. Like, I don't understand.
And I'm not sure if this is 100% true, but I know that people have been speculating that his color is the reason why Archie wasn't given a title, like an official royal title.
I believe that, like 100%.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, England. I don't know. The crazy thing to me, Rajni, about sort of like the Western world nowadays is on. Here, let me. This is kind of off topic, but this is kind of interesting. So we have like sort of like three different like paradigms that kind of encapsulate our world. On one hand, we have the sort of anti-racist, anti-sexist, the woke movement, the sort of like social justice movement.
Yeah.
Behind that, we sort of have like the elites who are kind of pretending to be this and that, whatever, pretending to support.
Like, they pick whichever one fits their agenda.
Exactly. Whatever gives them the best image.
Yeah.
And this is sort of unrelated and has nothing to do with anything, but it's also interrelated with those two concepts. And then we have pop culture, where we have like the most popular music in the world right now is like rap, which goes against everything the woke movement and the elites say, you know what I'm saying, like misogynistic, whatever, violent, yada yada.
Yeah, like alt right, kind of.
Exactly. Our TV shows are ultra violent now, ultra, you know what I'm saying, like the world just makes no sense to me. But let's not get sidetracked.
Yeah, the thing is that, the thing that really, I guess, kind of bothered me about this is that people seemed to be very shocked that racism was, like, rampant towards Meghan in the royal family. I mean, like, if you think about it, the royal family of England is kind of like the face of colonialism and imperialism. And, like, they originated all of this stuff that's going on, like, they created the concept of, like, a mother country.
They're literally the foundation of colonialism. Like,
exactly.
Specifically, so, with their lineage.
Exactly. And they're basically the founders of, like, the systems that led to our modern-day racial problems.
Yeah.
So why is anyone surprised that once a black woman marries into their family, like, obviously she's going to experience these type of things.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have came as a surprise. And plus, the way that, like, the tabloid newspapers spoke about her as compared to Kate is just completely different. We were actually discussing this in our class, in one of my classes yesterday, discussing racism in the media. And people were commenting on how, like, when Kate was pregnant with her kids, everyone was always, like, speaking favorably about her. Like, when she's dressed to show off her baby bump or whatever, it's like, oh, wow, so beautiful. Like, and the new mother or whatever. And then whenever Meghan does it, people are like, why does she have to show off her baby bum so much? Or like, why is she always touching it? And it's just completely different. And it's disappointing, but it's really not surprising to me.
Yeah, I completely agree, honestly. But, I mean, they're still billionaires. They're still two of the most powerful people in the world. So they need to make this an example and just kind of show their strength. Especially Meghan, just be like, you know what? I don't need no royal family.
Yeah.
I don't need this. I don't need that. I'm gonna do me. I'm successful before this.
Exactly.
And you know what I'm saying? I've already exposed the whole sort of family. Remember a couple of weeks ago I was telling you about how the Queen had that
bed? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, all these scandals are coming out with the royal family in the last couple months. Like,
And then the funniest thing is, I think one of the members of the royal family, Prince Andrew, was involved in the Jeffrey Epstein sex scandal.
Really?
But, there's this documentary about Epstein on Netflix. It's called Filthy Rich. And there's literally, in the documentary, they discuss how there's literally a picture of him at one of Epstein's parties.
Oh, okay. I remember that.
He's taking the picture with one of the underage girls. And he defended it by saying, oh, it's a fake picture. And he's, like, photoshopped in it. But, like, there was actual witnesses to say that he was there. He was in person. He was there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I don't know the man, but...
And, like, everyone seems to be getting upset that, like, Meghan and Harry have brought this stuff to light. But, like, no one even blinked an eye when that came out. Like, I feel like there was not nearly enough media uproar about that.
Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree. But I think the royal family is, I mean, I wonder what's going to happen now, you know? Like, they said that statement. They said we're going to talk privately. Like, that solves nothing.
Yeah.
I mean,
I honestly don't think anything much is going to happen. Because, yeah. I mean, Harry and Meghan left already. So, there's like, yeah. I feel like there's not really any point.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so I'm going to take it away with the international news. And I got to say, there's quite a few very interesting things that have come out today or developing stories. I'm going to start off with a hilarious one, because why not? This is actually probably the most funny political thing I've ever seen in my life. So, the Prime Minister of Thailand, he held a press conference like yesterday or this morning or something, and he was basically getting frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting frustrated because the reporters who were like interviewing him or asking him questions were asking him the same questions about who he was going to replace for his cabinet.
Yeah.
Because, like, whatever. This is not even important. The important part is he was getting frustrated with the questions.
Mm-hmm.
So the man, I'm not even lying, like, mid-speech, mid, live TV, everything.
Yeah.
He gets off the podium. He grabs a bottle of hand sanitizer. And he starts spraying. There's a video of it. He sprays, like, he just looks at them. He puts a mask over his face and he just sprays them. He just sprays them with hand sanitizer.
Oh my God.
He walks away, then he just leaves.
That is ridiculous.
That's like Donald Trump if he was allowed to do what he wanted. Like, oh, everybody who's listening to this, guys, go online, watch the video. It's hilarious. It's not even like a, like, violent, it's obviously disrespectful, but like the reporters are almost like laughing, kind of, or just they're so shocked. They're just like, what's going on? And it's like, it was only light sprays, so it's not like they're gonna go blind or anything. But
I mean, why is that your first reaction to just like, instead of saying no comment or like, I won't answer that question, you just start freaking spraying everyone?
No, like, yeah, like, how, bro, that was, how do you, first of all, how do you think of that?
Yeah.
It's not like he did it once. Like, he did it for like a good 15 seconds and he went across the row of people and he sprayed like each person individually. Yeah. Like,
that's a new level. That's
I'm telling you, watch the video. And he's known for having outbursts towards reporters, and Thailand is obviously not the most democratic nation, so it's not like he's gonna get in any trouble for what he did.
Jeez.
But I don't know, I just thought I'd tell everyone to go check that out. And moving on to the second story we're covering today, which ties into what we've been talking about for the past couple weeks. We're going to go back to Myanmar,
mm-hmm.
formerly called Burma, for those who don't know. So essentially, any new listeners, the country basically underwent a coup last month, where the military took over, arrested the democratically elected prime minister, president, whose name was Aung San Suu Kyi.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, things have just been going completely out of control. So the latest updates are, there's been another media crackdown. So there's been, I think, five news like media outlets that have been shut down. There's been 30 journalists that have been arrested or detained. Wow. And the police are cracking down on independent media. They're raiding the offices of two news outlets and detaining two journalists as of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And things are just going out of control. And probably the most significant portion of this story is that a government official, so someone who was part of Aung San Suu Kyi's party, was detained, I think, 2 days ago. And while he or she was detained, they died.
Oh, my God.
And this is the second person part of the formerly democratically elected government that has been detained and died in custody.
Wow. And I've also heard that they blocked social media.
Oh, so yeah.
Even the regular citizens can't, like, update people of what's going on.
It's crazy. Like, I saw videos of the police kind of, like, trapping a group of students in, like...
They opened live rounds on the student protesters who are peaceful. Yeah. They just started spraying bullets into them. And one student was actually killed in that.
Yeah, it's really quite something to witness. We gotta get somebody to interview about this, because this is crazy. Like, the fact that this still happens in 2021.
Yeah.
With all the international systems and whatnot, like I get that it'd be very hard to like prevent it right like outright, but they're literally killing citizens, detaining people. They're just it's basically anarchy, and they decided to be the new
government.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just
it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And my other story, which I'll finish the show off talking about, which is. Very, very good news, I guess. Bad news, good news combined. So, China, as you know, again, as we've been talking about, have been involved in the Uyghur genocide.
Yeah.
And essentially, the UN sort of did like a investigation. And the Chinese government has breached every single article of the UN Genocide Convention.
Oh my God.
In the treatment of Uyghurs in Xinjiang. And it bears responsibility for committing genocide, according to a landmark legal report.
Yeah.
So the report's 25,000 words. It was published by a nonpartisan US-based think tank.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what that means, to be honest. But
it's not related to any political party.
Oh, okay. It is one of the first independent non-governmental legal examinations of China's treatment of Uyghurs under the 1948 Genocide Convention. And obviously the Chinese government's like denying it, and their foreign ambassadors and diplomats and all whatnot are all just saying it's baseless claims, regardless of all the evidence.
Yeah.
And so it's looking like there's going to be a lot of sanctions and sort of international outcry after this report's like fully unpacked and whatnot, and that's a great thing because China needs to answer for what they're doing.
Exactly, because I can't believe that they would still deny that something has happened when there's literally eyewitness accounts of what happened, like people who've been in the internment camps and like people who've witnessed what's happening coming forward and saying this is happening, and then China's government is just like no.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, like, an official investigation has happened, and they're still like, no, like, when will the lying stop? There has to be a point where you have to, like, say, okay, fine, yes, this is happening, you know?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it just looks ridiculous.
Yeah, no. Have you ever seen Big Brother?
The TV show?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so this is sort of an analogy. So Big Brother, for those who don't know, it's kind of like a show, kind of like Survivor, where you compete. It's like a real life thing, and the last one standing wins like $100,000 or something like that.
Mm.
And I was watching it with my roommate the other day, and the thing about it is you have to make alliances, kind of like almost like political alliances with other people in the game.
Oh.
You kind of got to like two-face your way because you got to lie to people because each week you kick someone out.
Yeah.
And just watching people just, like, you know their intentions and they're just fully lying to each other and you know everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you see just no remorse. That just, like, just seeing that, that's just like one example. It just kind of shows you certain people, more people than you think.
Yeah.
Just like lie through their teeth, just have no regard.
Yeah.
And a lot of those people are politicians or people who are trying to get that $100,000. It's like, you know, when that's on the line, when the power, when the money is on the line.
Yeah.
Anything's on the table.
And then there's the difference between kind of making like a half truth to say like, this is happening, but it's not what it looks like, you know? But then for them to just outright say like, no, this is not a genocide, it's just, that's a step too far in my opinion. Because I mean, obviously everyone has to maintain diplomatic relations and you can't always just like expose what's actually happening in the country. But for them to just deny it altogether is just, it's a new level.
Nah, I completely agree. It's just, and like the evidence is so obvious too. Like,
exactly.
It's not even like with the Queen, the situation, like they could probably finesse it because it's hearsay. It's his, Meghan and Harry's word versus their word.
Yeah.
Obviously, I do believe Meghan and Harry, but for China, it's like,
it's whatever. Everyone. It's like at least three different things that have come out now. Three different official things that have come out to say that this is happening.
Not to mention, like, the thousands of Uyghurs who hold their story. And, like, why would they lie? You know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Exactly. Like,
why would they want...
In situations like that, you have to, like, see who has most to gain by lying. You know?
Yeah.
To see who's telling the truth. Like, why would people who are... Why would the Uyghurs risk their lives when they're already being persecuted to come forward with this type of thing if they didn't, if it wasn't true? Like, why would they make up a lie like that just to be thrown in jail and like tortured or whatever? It's obviously the government that's lying because they have so many things to protect.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's just I don't know, but at least the international community from this point onward, though they've already been doing it, but from this point officially, they're gonna start coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, though, I don't know, this is probably going to be like a 5-year process type thing, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
But hopefully some sort of justice will be served. Hopefully there's sanctions
on
the Chinese government. Because that's all you can really do at this point.
But on the topic of sanctions, I mean, I haven't really heard much about sanctions towards China, but at least when people are talking about sanctions toward Myanmar for the coup, people were also pointing out that at the same time, like, for example, if you were to put a trade sanction, so you don't buy or trade with Myanmar, people were saying that those type of sanctions actually hurt the people the most because it's, like, the individual people who won't have jobs or, like, who won't be paid for their work.
Yeah.
And, like, the government still, it affects the government, but, like, they're not the first to be affected, so it's not always the most effective thing to do, and it actually can harm individuals and like the population who are basically innocent, like they're the victims in the situation. It can harm them more than it helps them. So it's like, what measures are about, like, what measures will hurt the actual country without doing that much damage to the people themselves? You know,
that's the thing. Like, the last thing I want to say after this, we should wrap up, but yeah, exactly your point. That's a great point. Like, yeah, for China, it's whatever, because China's
so big.
They're big. They're decently well off. Like, obviously, there's still a lot of poverty, but, like, Myanmar is, like, basically third world. Like, they're already struggling somewhat. So, yeah, it's like, what do? You sanction the military coup who already have the money. They don't even care about this and that.
Mm-hmm. Like, for them, it will take longer for the effects of your sanctions to affect them.
Exactly. Or you send in troops. Like, I don't know how you do it without a civil war being involved.
Exactly.
You know?
Or at least war being involved, because I mean, the last thing anyone would want to do is to start a whole other war.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, but we shall see, and you guys will see it with us on this show, because that is what we do. But I think it's coming to time. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. As always, we will be here next Wednesday. I think it will be March 16th or 15th. And yeah, guys, take care.
Have a good week, guys.
Yeah. Peace out.
Okay, bye.